Church. You may be seated. We're going to have the youth choir sing, and then we'll read our scripture for tonight, and then we'll have the men's group sing again. They were asking if they're going to sing. I said, man, you all are all dressed up, so you might as well have them sing again. Amen. So, all right, youth, we'd love to hear these folks sing. Appreciate Miss Sadie and Brother Jake working with them. Here they go.
Between two thieves, hear the soldiers mock his name. See his followers as they cry in disbelief. This cannot be the reason he came. See him realize his life is through. Burn from his eyes. Behold the temple veil as it is torn in two. Hear the one on Calvary as he cries, paid in full. I've done the work I came to do. Paid in full. I paid life's final price for you. When all tell you that you'll never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full.
See his children torn between two ways. Some still choose to mock his name. Hear his followers as they can boldly say, we are the reason that he came.
See the ones who trust themselves alone to do what only Christ can do. Through Jesus' blood alone, we may approach the Father's throne. Love burn from his eyes. Be
foolish children torn between two ways. Some still choose to mock his name. Hear his followers as they can boldly say, we are the reason that he came. See the ones who trust themselves alone to do what only Christ can do. Through Jesus' blood alone, we may approach the Father's throne and hear the words that he still calls to. Paid in full, I've done the work I came to do. Paid in full, I've paid love's final price for you. When all hell tries to tell you that you'll never win, just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. Paid in full.
Proverbs chapter 18 this evening. Yesterday, one of my preacher friends, I'm going to show you a picture of him in just a second. We'll have those up right as I get ready to start the message, Brother Hugh. I appreciate that. He preached on making choices, and he had two doors on the front of the auditorium. And he preached a great message on how Joshua made the choice, and he talked about how he decided to go through the door that God led him through, and he was just preaching away. It was a great message. I was sitting on the platform listening to him. But then he came to the other door that he could have gone through. And he said, boy, this is where I lost it. He said, boy, I'm so glad I didn't go through this door, because I don't even want to know what was on the other side of that door. And he encouraged the teenagers to go through that door. And I got to thinking about how Jesus paid it full. Whew. And boy, you go through that right door and you have your wife, your kids, and your family, and the blessings of God. Man, God sure is good. All right, let's stand together and honor God's word. Proverbs chapter number 18. And before we read the text for tonight, Tyler Folster has been texting me. He says he misses the church. He's thinking about the church a lot. And he said to tell the church publicly that he needs a hug from Bill Betts. So, I don't know what that's all about, Brother Bill, but he said to tell you that. So, He's already homesick. He's only here for a year, and he's like texting me all the time, I miss Bible Baptist. So I said, then move back. All right, but anyway, Proverbs chapter 18. Well, this is the letter F on our ABCs of the Christian life, and I really kicked around going back and forth between the word fun and friends, so we're going to do both. I'll spend just a few minutes on the word fun. Let me just say real quickly that I think now more than ever, we got to show this world that Christians have fun. I take this as a compliment. Somebody said to me recently, one of the reasons we like to bring Brother Randy to camps and conferences is because you show teenagers the Christian life is so much fun. And it meant a lot to hear somebody say that, because can I say it tonight? It is fun. Fun is not a negative word at all. And your marriage ought to be fun. Your home ought to be a fun place. And I know there's times to get serious. I don't know when those times are, but there are times to get serious. But it's life is too short. Have fun. Enjoy this time. Heaven's going to be incredible, and so we can have fun. But the text tonight is from verse 22. The Bible says this, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. How many husbands can say amen to that tonight? I noticed Brother George a little delayed there, but your wife told you to say amen. You looked at her, and she gave you the icon. By the way, Brother George did a great Iron Man. I appreciate you so much, Brother George. All right. Whoso findeth wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. And look at verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Father, we thank you so much for this truth. Thank you that Christian life is fun. And thank you that we have friends that can make it fun. I pray that you bless the service. Thank you for the youth choir singing. And thank you, Lord, that it's paid in full. I pray that you bless the men. And now in these young men as they sing, Lord, help me to be that man. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
We need our crutch. God's calling.
I was going to say that.
You're calling Mr. Miller. Father's Day is a unique time of sending Father's Day cards brought to us by Hallmark. It was on Father's Day some years ago that my dad died at 3 o'clock in the morning. Within 9 months, my wife and I lost my dad, her dad, and her mom. So her dad died around her birthday. And so these holidays mean something to me. I relayed this morning how that I was not brought up in a Christian home, that my father-in-law and mother-in-law, even though my mother and father loved me, it was not a Christian home. But my mother and father-in-law had a Christian home. And as I think about my father-in-law, Christians nowadays wouldn't make a pimple on his backside. He was 5'8", 120 pounds, 90 years old, and he stood tall. His spirituality was 10 foot to 15 feet tall. We don't see people like that. Rarely in Christendom today. This psalm, men, have someone in your mind, the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Peter, some great Christian that you can look up to, that you can pattern after, that you can follow. Our pastor, follow him as he follows Jesus.
Amen.
If he strays from Jesus, I already told him, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm serious as a heart attack. I don't pay obeisance to pastor. I pay obeisance to Jesus.
Amen.
But have someone, a hero of yours, in your mind that you can follow. Jesus is the best example. I want to be like that man, is the song.
He was awake before the sun, with his Bible opened up, seeking truth with every single page he turned. Anyone could see my daddy lived what he believed, with a gentle heart, a passion for Jesus' birth. I know we had our times we disagreed, but the longer I live, it's clear to me I want to be. Just like the word commands, who takes a stand and leads his family as he holds the Father's hand. I want to be that man. Society would say, there's a new ideal today, not what you give, It's more about what you can gain. But I want to live a life that's marked by sacrifice, like the Savior who died to show us all a way. So I'll take up my cross and trace his steps. Surrendering is how I'll serve him best. I want to be that man who loves the Lord with all his heart, just like the word commands, to take a stand and leads his family as he holds a father's hand. I want to be that man, just like Peter, Paul, and all the saints of days gone by. Let me show the kind of faith to those who come behind. I want to be that man who loves the Lord with all his heart, just like the word commands, to take a stand and leads his family as he holds the Father's hand. I want to be that man. I'll lead my family as I hold the Father's hand. I want to be that man.
All right. We got a good report from Brother Nick this afternoon. He had his first deaf person show up at his church this morning, so he preached in sign this morning, and he's doing it again tonight because they're coming back. And so that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Let me show you some encouraging pictures, some good news. There's been a lot of negative news and, I guess, pictures that aren't as encouraging over the last week on media, but here's some good pictures. This is from yesterday. Social media can be used for good, and I saw this. I got, I guess, what you call tagged in it. So here's one picture. This is the crowd that was at the youth conference yesterday. That's just one half of the building. I think there's about 400 teenagers there in Michigan. And the final reports were 6 salvations, 6 souls saved. And then the next picture, there it is. There's me and the two preachers praying over the 10 young men that surrendered to preach for the first time. Now, there's about 20 young ladies. It's always more girls than boys, but 20 young ladies surrendered, and you'll see that's me with the top of my head bending over. Right next to me and sitting on the couch is Brother Tony Shirley from North Carolina. He's a pastor friend of mine. And then the man that's kneeling with his hand on the guy's back is Brother Derek Haglin. And those two guys are good friends of mine. And I want to start off, we'll leave that picture up for just a little bit. And this is a very serious moment. But those three preachers getting together is a dangerous thing. And the host pastor said, y'all three together are crazy. And I just want to show you how much fun Christianity is before we get into the real part of the message tonight. Over the course of the summer, and as I get to travel quite a bit, and I get to hear a lot of preaching myself. I heard 4 messages this weekend myself, and I need preaching. I need preaching. I'm wicked. I need preaching. Can I get an amen right there? How many think your pastor needs preaching? Right. I need preaching, yeah. So, but, you know, the neat thing about these, I'm going to show you some behind-the-scenes things about these preachers. There's some preachers you can't ever leave your Bible away from you before you preach, because they'll take your Bible and hide it. And here you are getting ready to preach to 400 or 500 teenagers or 1,000 teenagers, and you can't find your Bible. And now, I've never done that. Sorry, Lord. Yes, I've done that many times. And there's one preacher especially, Kenny Baldwin, who becomes very, very, he becomes a girl when you take his Bible from him. And we've taken his Bible from him many times. We take turns, we hide it, and then he becomes very nervous, becomes very anxious and stressed out. And he knows every year it's going to happen, and he knows at the end we'll give him his Bible back because we know preaching's important. But those are some things that go on behind the scenes. Another thing that's one of the biggest fears of a preacher, and this is going to sound so silly to y'all, is a lot of these conferences we go to, like this one, they gave us a jacket to wear and a shirt to wear. Sometimes these conferences give you, like, pants. We have matching outfits to preach, and I don't know why they do it. I don't mind. It's free clothes for me all the time. I got some nice jeans and nice shoes through the years. This summer will be my 9th year in a row to get a pair of Air Jordans for free. And boy, that really impresses the guys in the jails, amen. And so one of the biggest fears you have is, are the clothes going to fit you? That's always a fear, you know, especially when you're a big man like me. And 99% of the time it fits me fine. But Brother Derek, the one that has this on his knees there, he texted us all yesterday morning and said, now the host youth pastor literally looks like that microphone right there. We call him Brother Barney Fife. He's the Barney Fife of America. I'm telling you, ask my family, they know Brother Donald. Am I lying? I mean, he looks like Barney Fife, acts like Barney Fife, and he's a youth pastor from the Andy Griffith Show. And I mean, it's hilarious. And so he wears like an extra small youth shirt. And then me and the other preacher, Brother Tony, were an X large. And then Brother Derek needed, I think, a medium. Well, he texted all of us yesterday morning and said, guys, I have a problem. I think I got Donald's shirt. And he said, my shirt is so small, it won't fit me. And we had a good time with that. We had a really good time. So he kept his jacket on. You see, he's got his jacket on. And finally, he took it off one time because he got hot. So he hid his jacket from him. So he had to walk around in a skin-tight shirt. And, I mean, it was hilarious. And, of course, teenagers don't know all the stuff's going on behind the scenes, you know. And then they were going to give out an iPad mini yesterday to a teenager. And so me and Brother Derek hid the iPad mini from the host youth pastor to make him nervous. He couldn't find the iPad mini. So we just do a lot of things like that behind the scenes. You guys, man, you guys are honored. Yes, it's called fun. And by the way, I do it a lot, but I get picked on a lot too. And I'm like, oh boy, here it comes. And let me just tell you something. The Christian life is absolutely 100% fun. And we need to have a revival of having fun. Again, the Bible says here, the Bible here talks about the friends and the fruit thereof and the wife and she finding a good thing. Let me tell you something. If you have a friend that doesn't have fun with you, you're missing out. I'm thankful for friends who know how to have fun. We're going to get to the friends in just a second. But the definition of the word fun is simply this. It says something that provides mirth or amusement. And I tell you, you hang around Independent Baptist for a while and you're going to find a lot of things that are funny. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, preachers are funny. Church members are funny. Church members say funny. Brother Sam just said something really funny. I don't know if I heard him right because I was sitting back there, but he did say, something about a pimple and a backside? All right, I just want to make sure I heard that right. I looked at Jennifer and said, did he say what I think he said? Because sometimes you don't hear as well back there. And I mean, there's just always things you can find to laugh at and have fun. Brother George. Need I say anything else? And so, you know, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. In fact, I just recently read that the fastest growing consumers of antidepressant medication in America now is 4-year-old boys. And that really concerns me. They're not the highest consumers, but they're the fastest growing. So here's a 4-year-old boy and I think he's got some problems. Let's just go ahead and give him antidepressant medication. Let me tell you something, that's dangerous. That's demasculinizing America. And boy, we need to let boys be boys again. Amen. And I'm for that. I'm for that when that's necessary. But I was thinking about that, and, you know, we just need to have fun again in Christianity. We really do. We need to learn to laugh. The Bible says it's God's prescription for you and me, a merry heart. And if you look at the definition of that verse and you study it out, that verse actually talks about laughing and enjoying the things of God. I mean, laughing. It means to have a good old-fashioned, what they call belly laugh or a hearty laugh. And Christians should be the best laughers in the world. Christians should find a reason to make the Christian life fun. And can I tell you something? The ABCs of the Christian life, I grew up for 18 years in different churches that were called Christian churches. But there was so much seriousness there. And that's just not my personality. I know some people are more serious than others. I don't have much seriousness in my body at all. You can ask my wife. I mean, life is just fun. Make it fun, right? And so when I went to a Baptist church for the first time, where I had a pastor who was just, he was a nut. He was hilarious. And God used that pastor to teach me that the Christian life is truly a lot of fun. I think sometimes we look at these disciples and apostles and think they never laughed or never had fun. But let's be honest. In Mark chapter 6, the Bible talks about how they had some leisure time. And the Bible talks about how there's times that Peter and John would say things and the questions they would ask would obviously imply that they had conversations in private to lead to them asking Jesus certain questions. And let's be honest tonight. Do you think Peter, John, and James always were so serious? No. David's mighty men, They were human just like we are. And God made us to cry. He made us to laugh. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3 said there's a time and a season for everything. And now more than ever, this world is popping medication. I'm telling you, I'm not against all of it. I know some is necessary, and I thank God for good medicine. But remember, the Greek word for the word sorcery in the book of Revelation is pharmakeia, which is the word for pharmacy. And it's not the illegal drugs that's destroying America like it used to. It's the legal prescribed drugs that's hurting America today. So let me encourage you today to find a reason to laugh and have fun. Have fun in your marriage. Have fun with your children. Have fun with your families. Have fun in this church. I mean, I actually was told by somebody before that they left this church. This is years ago, so don't try to figure it out. They said they left this church because we think you guys have too much fun. I said, see ya. I'm not going to change. There's got to be a place where you can come and have a good time and praise God for that. I'm not saying we don't take preaching seriously. You know that. I'm not saying the altar call is not serious. There's a balance there, but man, the Christian life is fun. And I want to tell these teenagers all summer long, it's not a whole long list of rules and you know, you got to check these things off, and it's the law and it's just suffering. It's not like that at all. I'm all about, you know, standards and convictions and preferences and different things. And everybody in this room has different in those areas, but we can have all those things and still have fun. Follow my family around for a week. We have a good time. And I'm not just saying that because I'm preaching. We really have a good time. Man, life's too short, church. Enjoy the fun Christian life. Now, with that being said, that leads to something else is friends. Friends. Can I tell you, some of the best friends I have in this world right now are preacher friends. You see this, especially this guy with his back to y'all. Brother Derek and I have become very close friends. And this youth conference was a blessing to me because I was actually the youngest preacher. And that's not so much anymore. I'm getting to be the older guy now. But both those guys are in their 40s already, and so they gave me a hard time for still being in my 30s. But can I tell you something? Friends are a blessing. I'll never forget when I was attending the Bible study in the Capitol building that John Stormer used to teach. I would go every single Wednesday morning from January to May. And my wife would know this. I'd get up early Wednesday morning and go to that Capitol building and watch this great man of God teach the Bible. And he was teaching senators and representatives of the Bible, the Word of God. And I'd sit there and just soak it in. And I'll never forget, he said, many people in this world will have many, many acquaintances, but you won't have a whole lot of friends, true friends. And so tonight I want to encourage you tonight, first of all, to think about being a better friend. And then secondly, be thankful for your friends. This last week, my daughter and you, I'm sure you all know, my daughter and Lindsay are pretty tight friends. And I almost asked you guys to wear your matching t-shirts tonight, but Lindsay had a birthday last week, so they bought matching t-shirts. And it says besties, like best friends, besties, BFFs. Of course, y'all are best friends all the time, right? Because you used to say best friends this week, and the next week you like switch around. You know how girls are. My BFF this week is different than my BFF next week. And my BFF means best friend forever, right? And I love how you call it a BFF forever, but you change your BFF every week. So you might as well get rid of the forever and just say BF, right? So, but they got matching t-shirts, and one has, it says bestie on both, and then it says, what does it say? Oh, besties since, and one of them has the number 19 on it, and the other one has the number 99 on it. So they got matching shirts. Isn't that cute? Here we go. Aww. And they're going to wear it to camp and all that stuff. And they have been. I mean, we were going through pictures the other day, and since they were like, well, Lindsay's like almost 2 years older than Brielle, right? Megan, right? And she said, did you know your daughter's going to be able to vote next year? Isn't that a blessing? Wow. So she's 17 now. Brielle will be 16. So since you were born, you guys have been friends. You guys weren't friends before she was born, right, Lindsay? You were friends before she was born? Did you say you were friends before Brielle was born? No, you weren't. Okay. All right, look like you're saying yes from here. Okay, I'm just making sure. So, but they've been good friends. And I've seen their friendship develop through the years. And I just want to take a few minutes tonight and remind you of the importance of friends. I look in this building tonight, and I know many of us have developed friendships through the years, and I'm so thankful for the power of a friendship. And friendships will go through thick and thin. You'll go through tough times and good times. There'll be times you can't stand your friend. There'll be times you realize you can't live without your friends. So let me give you three quick things tonight. Number one, think about the example of a friendship. the best example of a friendship. You know, there's not many people that can say they're a friend to everybody, but Jesus is a friend to everybody. I'm not a friend to everybody. I don't know everybody. But Jesus is actually potentially a friend to everybody tonight. And look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. It says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now back up to verse number 22. I love this one. It says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Simple truth here tonight. Listen, young people, those of you that are single still, hey, make sure you marry your best friend whose best friend is Jesus. If your best friend is Jesus and your wife's best friend is Jesus, and then you both become best friends, there's nothing wrong with having three, like a triangle of best friends. You have a great opportunity for a successful, happy, blessed marriage. Can I get an amen right there? My best friend, humanly speaking, tonight is my wife. She is my best friend. I mean, I absolutely, there's no doubt, there's no comparison. She is my best friend in the whole world. I mean, she is my BFF, and we talk about everything. We share everything. I mean, I thank God for her. And God, that's why God says if you find a wife, you find a good thing. And you're blessed. You've obtained blessings from the Lord because of that. And I think it's important to acknowledge that. I think it's interesting that God puts this. So many times when we look at Proverbs, we think these verses are taken out of context. But I think it's not. I don't think it's an accident that you have verse 22 and verse 24 so close together. Because a marriage will be strong because of your friendship. I mean, my wife and I were actually friends first before we started getting serious. And then I got excited and asked her for our first date, and she said no. I was like, fine, forget you. I couldn't believe it. I thought she wanted me. She did, but she was already committed to date another guy that night. That can cause problems. But they weren't friends. We were friends. That's why I got her, amen. So the example of friendship. You see, the example of friendship is Jesus Christ. Now let's spend a little bit more time on number two and three, and I'll be done. Number two. Watch this now. There has to be an energy of friendship. Now, the word energy is simply defined as the capacity for rigorous activity or lively activity. You see, in verse number 24, it says, a man that hath friends must, look at this now, show himself friendly. Friendly. It's a simple verse. It's a simple verse. So much of America today, look, the concept of friendship has been so watered down in America because it's all about, they call each other friends, but it's all about what you can do for me, and what you do for me, I'll do for you back. That happens a lot in politics. In fact, I see it even in church sometimes. You scratch my back, and I'll scratch your back, and we're friends. That's not true friendship. You see, a true friend is going to show their friendship no matter what happens in the relationship of that friendship. You're going to display it. There's going to be an energy. Your friend is going to know that you are their friend by the things you do, not just the things you say. You see, a real friend is going to be there when you need them on the phone. A real friend is going to be there for encouragement and consolation. A real friend is going to be there to cry with you and to laugh with you. And a real friend doesn't get jealous when God blesses you. A lot of times in churches today, someone wants to give a testimony about what God's done for them, and they're honestly afraid because they think people in the room think they're bragging. Well, let's take care of that tonight. They are bragging on God. And we should never be bothered by somebody who's bragging on God. And if someone testifies and they're really your friend, you should rejoice with them. I heard a preacher say one time, boy, Christians are good at weeping with those that weep, but not rejoicing with those that rejoice. But when they're going through a tough time, I'm here for you. Boy, God bless them with a new house or a new job. Look at them. Who do they think they are? We got to be consistent. A real friend is like, you know what? Man, praise God. Look, those two men, there's the teenagers again, but those two men that are on the that were on the platform with you, completely different. One pastor's in North Carolina. One's up there in the great white north of Michigan. I'm here in Missouri. We all have different churches. Brother Derek is not a pastor. He's the vice president of college, but he also travels and preaches. He's an assistant pastor. Then you got Brother Tony Shirley, who never went to Bible college. What a testimony about this man. He was a teacher in a Christian school, then a principal in the Christian school. Then the church blew up. They had a big split, big problems, and he ends up the pastor of the church, and it's doing great now. But when all three of us get together, God uses that trio there. And man, what a blessing it is to preach and serve with friends in the ministry. Let me tell you something. In this church, there's lots of you that have friends in this church. And look, there's nothing wrong with being close to people in churches, and maybe you're closer to some than you are others. In fact, listen to this. The true definition of friendship will get rid of the word cliques. Now, as a church, we need to show ourselves friendly to people. I was touched this morning because we had a deaf man that come visit this morning, first time visitor. His name's Nick. He's a good guy. I've known him for a long time. And he was sitting there, and I asked if he had gotten his visitor's card yet, and he hadn't got it yet. So Brother Mike Daniel went back and got his card and gave it back, and he said, "Enough." And I was like, "What do you mean? I thought he got offended." He goes, "I've never felt so welcome. Thank y'all. You've been so good to me. You guys treat me like I'm a hero or something." Well, that blessed my heart. I was proud of the deaf church for doing that. Some of you hearing folk were kind to him today too. Showing him friendship. Showing him friendship. Look, there has to be an energy. There has to be something that you show. Now watch this now. Here's what Solomon is going to say here. He's going to say, many believe he wrote this passage after he already wrote Song of Solomon. Now, why is Song of Solomon so significant to this particular verse? Well, if you read Song of Solomon, you'll study that that book, 8 chapters, a short book, right here, right near Proverbs, is a book where Solomon himself talks about a relationship of Jesus Christ. He talks about a relationship between a groom and his wife and the closest, but it's a beautiful picture of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Solomon saw a future picture of what Jesus Christ was going to be like to the church. And because he saw that, he said, "Wow, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And I even looked it up to make sure. I read every commentary I could get my hands on to make sure. And this verse, every preacher agrees that this verse points to Jesus Christ being the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I don't think anyone in this room would ever question me and my brother Nick's closeness. We're very close. Very close. I'm going to be an open book. I took his move very hard. It was tough. But I'm proud of him, and I'm glad he's there. And we're tight, very close. I'm close to my sister too, but I guess just the man-man dynamic just made it different. We shared a bedroom all our life. Even when we moved into houses where you could have enough bedrooms to separate, he was afraid of the dark or something, so he would stay in my room. But we were tight, very close. And so listen, if any of you in this room have a brother that you're really close to, this verse really means a lot about your relationship to Jesus Christ. Because I don't know another man that I'm closer to than my brother Nick. And Solomon writes in this verse, there is one that's closer than a brother. Wow. I've been saved almost 21 years now. And my brother left me. But Jesus never does. And after 21 years of salvation soon, I can testify, there is one that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus is always there. He will be the friend you can always, always cry on. Cameron, you're getting ready to go to boot camp. You better really cling to Jesus then, amen. You keep your mouth shut to the authorities, but he can talk to Jesus, right, Sean? Is that okay if he talks to Jesus? All right. He'll probably need to talk to Jesus a lot, won't he? Yeah, that's right, amen. Bill, is that true? He's going to need to talk to Jesus a lot. Brother Stone, amen. The point I'm trying to make is this. There's got to be energy. We can't just say we're friends. We've got to show it. All right. And then number 3, and I'm done. The endurance of friendship. The endurance of friendship. Look at this word. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. It says, there is a friend that, next word, sticketh closer than a brother. Most of the time, the word sticky is an interesting word. As I was flying on Thursday morning, my arm hit something at the airport and it stuck to it. And you pull it off, and you know, the first thing that goes to your mind is, what was that? What was my arm stuck to on that seat right there? Who spilled something? What was it? And then, you know, I might be weird, but I try to smell it, you know. Because that tells you a lot. So if something sticks, if I hit something sticky, I try to smell it. And if it doesn't stink real bad, and of course, you know, I'm in O'Hare Airport, and the thing's huge. I mean, I didn't have to work out this morning because you walk 3 miles to get to where you're flying. Anybody ever been to O'Hare Airport before? So I'm going up there, and I'm looking for a bathroom. And, of course, they didn't have a bathroom at the time, so the whole time in my mind is, what is this that's sticking on my arm? You know, of course, I got into the bathroom and washed it off. Thank God for that. I'd say there's not many more things in life more sticky than honey, right? You ever get honey on your mouth or your hand and you thought you washed it off and later that day it's like still sticking somewhere? You got it on your shirt and you didn't know? I've done that before. I'm going to admit it. Don't look at me like you've never done that before. I'll never forget, man. In fact, it's happened many times in this church. And I mean, there's some of those kids are sitting right over there. In fact, I think it might have been Evan when he was about 6, 7, 8 years old. He got a sucker that fell out and it fell in my pants. And I think it was him. He didn't tell me. And so I'm walking through church. I get home. I drove home. We stopped to eat some more. I get home and I'm like taking my pants off and I'm like, what in the world? And there's a sucker stuck on my pants just the whole time. I mean, it was just stuck there. It's just, and I'm like, okay, this goes to the dry. I just got it dry clean. That's always how it works out, right? And that's happened numerous times. I've had your kids, not my kids, your kids get their candy stuck on my clothes. And then nothing worse than walking and stepping in gum. Can I get an amen right there? How many of you have stepped in gum in your life sometime? And that sticky feeling, then you got to try to get it off, and you just can't get it off. You got to wait till it dries, and you scratch it off with a pocket knife, and boy, it's a blessing. How about when you put your hand under a table, and you just kind of put your hand, and then all of a sudden you hit gum there? Hey, let's just get it all out tonight, okay? Who's put gum under the table before? Come on now. Wow! Y'all need to get right with God tonight, okay? Now, you know the bacteria from that gum's gone. It's not there anymore. But just the thought of somebody having stuck gum on that table, and you just kind of like, oh, man, I got to go to the bathroom. How many go to the bathroom and wash hands after you do that? I know Brother George doesn't. He never washes his hand ever, right? Sticky things are interesting. But I love the word sticketh. Now, here's the thing I love about this verse, and I'm done. A real friend is going to always be there for you. There's the word is cleave, and sticketh means it's going to always, always stick. It'll continually stick. In other words, if there seems like there's a slow separation, the next day the stick is back. And you start to break off, and the next day the stick is back because it's sticketh. The beauty of the English language, the beauty of the old English language, it's a continual stickiness. And God is saying a true friend is going to endure with you forever. By the way, that's why it's important to marry your best friend. Because there will be times you'll fuss. There will be times you'll have disagreements. But because you're your best friends, you get over it and you move on. And that's why churches need to develop strong friendships. Look, I was taught, again, I'm being an open book. I was taught by preachers that you don't want to get too close to your people. You don't want to get too close to your people. I thought, why? Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm glad I'm close to lots of you. I'm glad there's a closeness in this church. We're family. We're family. I mean, Jesus lived among the people. And I think sometimes Catholic doctrine enters our Baptist churches and look, don't touch me. You gotta always set up an appointment. You know, don't bother me. I'm somebody special. Look, come on. My daughters recently went to a youth rally, and one of my friends was preaching there. And when they got back, I said, what'd you think? This is my buddy, man. What'd you think? And they said, Daddy, we never saw him. He was only in the pulpit and gone. It broke my heart. I love meeting the teens. Yesterday, a lot of those teens came up, and I got to meet them and take pictures with them. And praise the Lord for that. Meeting people, becoming friends with people, letting people come to you, be approachable. I mean, true friendship is going to endure and endure and endure. And listen, no matter what the devil does, friendship is here. But by the way, friendship is a gift from God. God gave us the gift of friendship. And in the Christian life, let me tell you something, as we get closer to the end now, we're going to need to be friends. We're going to need to be able to look across the way and say, you still at it? Yep. You still at it? Yep. That's what the preacher said. The three of us said that the other day, just yesterday. We said, hey guys, let's stay by the stuff. That's what we say. You keep preaching, we'll keep preaching. Hey, we need each other. Let's stay friends. Let's stay friends. We have some disagreements, but let me tell you something. Our disagreements are so small compared to what we really agree on. Friendship. Thank God for that. So number one, we have the example in Jesus. Number two, there's energy. Show it. Number three, there's endurance. Make your friendship last forever. Let's pray. Father.